Thank you. Thank you very much. This is supplementary lecture number 3, 21st American ACC. The Establishment of R is the name of this short lecture. Establishment of R. The least easy thing to establish, in any case, is the R factor. Affinity, reality, and communication. These things grow together in a triangle, and they measure up and down the line as a triangle. And of the three, the R is the most obscure. And it's on this R factor that you, in your auditing, have made your greatest mistakes. I'm about to tell you now why any case that you ever audited, that you had any trouble with, didn't advance. Basically, your estimate of the R was at fault. The reality of the case. Now, this is the most difficult thing to establish. Because a PC has no comparable factor. An auditor does. He has A and C. But a PC has nothing to compare his R with. So he never knows whether things are realer or less real where his R is concerned than the other fellows. You see, he doesn't know whether his R is more or less R than the other fellows are. You see that? It sits there all by itself. It's a little individuated island, you might say, which is way out somewhere. So the PC says, yes, yes, I have a reality on it. What does he mean? He doesn't know. And neither do you. You say, now, do you have a good reality on this person that we're processing? Oh, yes. Oh, Christ Almighty, he might as well have said, hi, C. It means nothing more than that. A PC's comment, and you can nail this one down with spikes if you're going to be successful as an auditor. A PC's comment on the comparable reality of any of the PC's reactions is the first thing you ignore. It just isn't. There isn't any real way you can stack a thetan up directly against another thetan and establish the relative R of the two thetans. Is thetan A's R greater than thetan B's R? Well, if you were just examining reality all by itself, you would flop. You would flop completely. Why? There's just no datum of comparable magnitude to it, that's all. He has a little shock, and things appeared very bright to him for an instant. His sense of smell went up or something of the sort, see? He got a little shock. And he says, boy, he says, that's real. Yeah, but this comment of his, that's real, might actually, if made by somebody else, be, boy, is that what wall? Isn't that the idea? Somebody else comes along and just says, you know, man, am I in bad condition today. I just, what wall, what space, what universe? You know, boy, am I fogged in today. Well, he's fogged in comparison to what his usual R is. So his fogged in state is as good as the PC's R who got this little shock. And everything got very real. Very real in comparison to who? To what? Now, this is an awful thing to throw you, a statement that nobody knows what R is. But subjective R is only relative to subjective R. See? Today is more real to the PC than yesterday. But how real are the comparative factors? There's how you make your mistakes. Now, there are ways of measuring this. There are ways of measuring it very, very directly. There's affinity. If you get a hold of a PC who cannot mock anybody up being pleased with things, or can't conceive of people being pleased with things, you can absolutely bet your last bottom brass copper that his R factor is out the bottom. And a bright, real day to him is probably as bright as you feel when you're under ether. Now, you see, we have these other two factors, A and C, by which to compare this. So here we've got this thing of A, and the most recent data concerning A has to do with pleasedness. Can the individual be pleased? Now, it's a funny thing. Pleasedness is more real to him than R. So there's your A, your affinity factor, pleasedness. Now, if you just measured the comm lag of how long it took him to answer the question, what could you do that would really please people? You would have a comparable datum to the R factor. And you could probably work it out with a stopwatch. It's as easy as that. When he can't get the IDs pleased anybody, or could please anybody, and when he has peculiar notions about what pleases people, and all the rest of this, all you're measuring is the R factor. Because, in final essence, if he was able to conquer this pleasedness and straighten it out, he would have shifted his R factor, yes. But all he would have done was make himself capable of admiring pieces of his bank out of existence. No great therapeutic value here. Beyond the fact that people pleasers and things that please things and so on, if gotten out of the bank, take pleasedness off automatic and do various things for the case. But that isn't because you've simply gotten him pleased. All right, so there's pleasedness. Difficulty with pleasing, anxieties to please, all of these various things coordinate against R. It isn't that an anxiety to please is bad. As a matter of fact, an anxiety to please is pretty high on the scale. Now, you got a coordination over here against your reality of the PC. Now, on communication, in an age when we have education carefully installing social machinery in each and every student, they never do anything for the student, but they certainly do give him a lot of machinery. They're not interested in doing something for the student. They want to do something for society by putting something where the student is, which is quite different than education. Education which does not immediately and at once improve the individual and his ability to communicate is worthless. Worse than worthless, it degrades the individual. Hypnotism is the last happy goal of modern educational systems. It isn't whether or not a student can regurgitate on an examination paper what he has been taught that term that determines his, quote, education or his, quote, usefulness to the society. That is not what determines it. It's what can he do with what he's got? And if he can't do anything with what he's got, why teach him? Yet they turn out engineers and biologists, and the government says, well, we must have more education and more education and more scientists and more scientists. I got news for them. and they got one. What do they mean, more? There were some old guys that could add up two and two and get the proper scientific six. They built a society that's around everybody every day. There's some old guys, but they weren't wearing the proper school tie. There were some old guys. Harvey Firestone, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison. They built all the things which this society has. The assembly lines, everything else. They didn't have an education. They would have been kicked out of any government post today. Now that's because these people were being causative in their own rights. Thomas Edison, by the way, didn't even get out of the third grade. They're being causative in their own right. So it didn't have anything to do with this artificial factor called education. The only reason I'm talking about education is you can teach, Svengali fashion, somebody how to communicate. You can say, when people walk up to you and say, good morning, you are supposed to look up brightly, smile, and say, good morning. So they say, wow. Teacher comes in the classroom, says, good morning, children. And one little guy, he hasn't got his lesson yet. He just sits there, see? His natural communication level is showing. So his teacher says, Johnny, you were supposed to smile and say good morning. After a while, he gets it. And you eventually got stimulus response mechanisms on social machinery, and that fools you auditors just like mad when it sits down in the chair. You say, this guy's reality must be good because he answers up when I speak to him. That's the same thing as saying his reality must be good because he breathes. I reach over and touch him, no rigor mortis. Now, communication is actually the best test. But do you have to know what communication is? You know, very few people are talking to you when they talk. Very few people. They're giving you the proper responses. They're not talking to you. And there's an odd sideways test. You have to measure C by understanding. Yes, there are a lot of ways to measure C. We have covered them over the years. But people have managed to miss them here and there, too. I had an auditor recently trained the other day. Says, PC is getting no place. It's not in this unit. PC is getting no place with this process. I said, what's the matter? Not just getting no place. Just sits there and sort of look stupid for a long time. I don't know where communication lag got lost. But obviously, the person was going through a communication lag. And the auditor was very upset because the PC wasn't communicating. In other words, to be a perfect educated PC, a PC is supposed to answer up smartly, just like the auditor was trained to do. And nothing to do with it. See? You say, recall a time, the PC is supposed to say, mm-hmm. Recall a time, mm-hmm. And you can actually see some co-auditing team with no training whatsoever, with the auditor getting very angry with the PC because the PC is holding up the processing. Undoubtedly, it's happened. C, the easiest way to measure C, or communication, is against understanding. The ARC triangle make up understanding. And if you really want to get R measured by C directly, you have to be pretty sharp You really have to know your business, and you have to look close. You have to find out, is he actually responding to what I have asked and various other things, and how much machinery is in the road and so forth. It takes a real smart look. A smarter look than you or I do. Because it takes time. We have to talk to them and listen and get them to talk to us and find out whether or not they originate and various other factors. If they don't originate, if they don't respond, if they never answer the auditing question, or they don't answer the commonplace questions we give them and so forth, we know their C is out. And therefore their R is bad. But it takes a little time because the fellow just might feel dopey for a moment or something of the sort. That can be thrown. This one can't be thrown. The C measured against understanding. Now, you can do it with pure C, but you've got to be real clever. But you put it in over there against understanding, you've got it made. When you communicate to him, does he understand what you're talking about? And when he talks, can you understand what he's talking about? Now, if you have difficulty understanding what the devil he's getting at, or if his questions seem to be very peculiar indeed. Remember, there are two R's involved, yours and his. But the funny part of it is that if you're actually searching for his R, you look for commonplace understandings. Commonplace. And we say very easily, well, he doesn't seem to know what it's all about. We engage in any kind of a discussion with him. We find out his understanding of people, that is to say, his reasonability of people or his tolerance or something like this, is way out. It's way out. Not necessarily critical. That's a different point entirely. But he just seems to be stupid. He just seems to be kind of dumb about this whole thing. In other words, they're unexpected reactions that you get from him. His R's out. Don't say he's stupid, because that word means nothing. Just say to yourself, his R is out. Certainly it isn't in coordination with yours. Now, if you look that one over, it is much easier to practice than to talk about. An instructor, for instance, gets this hot and heady. And if you're instructing a unit, learn this trick. I'll spoil the trick here. I'm telling you about it. Just learn this trick. If you're instructing a unit, you have HAS students teaching an APHPA course sometime, HCA course somewhere. Teaching somebody, and all of you will sooner or later. Watch the guy who asks you the dumbest questions because his R factor is out. And if you let that person be processed on anything but low R processes, you will lose. Got it? When he's busy being the auditor on a co-auditing team, he keeps asking you dumb questions. Don't chop him up. And don't say he's stupid, because people sort of have an idea that stupidity is irremediable. It's just he's got a low R, that's all. His R is low. As he communicates, in other words, the directions and subjects of his communication are malapropos. He doesn't completely state his proposition. You can't quite get at what he's talking about. He keeps saying, what did you say? You know, what did you say? And he says, well, if I audit any longer, sitting over here in the corner, like this, the PC will get square corners on his soul. Well, maybe this is a deep-seated belief. Or something of the sort. That isn't good enough to tell you this is a horrible R factor. But followed up with something on the order of, isn't it true that a PC who sits silently for a long time disapproves of his auditor. After you have explained communication lag about six times, catch it right there. That's just a bad R. You got it? That's a poor R factor. Now that means that person is not going to progress in processing unless your most direct possible approach to R is utilized. You see how this could be. Now, fortunately, we are equipped today with processes. The earliest R process is look around this room and find something that's really real to you. Ask once or twice or three times. Once or twice or three times. Do you remember that? That's old SOPHC, I think it was the first one. Something that's really real to you. And all of a sudden somebody'd pick up a teapot or something of the sort. Say, wow, I never realized that was real. And then we'd ask them for something else. We'd eventually get something real to them. Now that was the earliest process and wasn't particularly effective on lots of cases, but it certainly did crack a lot of cases in spite of all that. That was something to ask somebody, and it was some place to get them. Now, how about this? How about the modern look? How about the modern look where you have processes that go right straight down and almost out the bottom before the PC does? Now, not only should you estimate the PC's R with accuracy, not critically, but just with accuracy, that's all that's being required, accuracy, but you should also never take a chance with a process. You mustn't start the PC upstairs with a 15th grade process, and then when you find he can't do it, downgrade him into an earlier or a lower level process. And when he can't do that, downgrade him into a lower level process. When he can't do that, downgrade him into a lower... Well, just giving him loses, 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 loses. So the way to get around it is always undercut a case. Uniformly undercut a case. Always. Now look, if person's R factor is above this level, he will do the lower processes easily. So go as far down as you can get and rapidly come up through successive processes up to what you figured his R process was. So there's two ways to whip this thing. One, estimate it, and the other one is undercut it. And boy, you'll make more cases recover than you can count. Now, what's this thing called overt act selected person? Today, at this moment, it is the lowest R process we have. Why is it the lowest R process? Because we pick something that is already relatively real to the preclear, a person. Now, if a person is relatively real to the preclear, we have the last person on whom the PC's attention was to some degree fixated. If the person has a very low R, you have one of a series of persons which totally fixate the person's attention and keep his attention units off present time and off everything else. In other words, we've got a case of fixation going here in a lower level case. And in a case that's not bad off, a case that's not bad off at all, so you run some selected people. Is R factor's good, so you ran some selected people. Well, you'll make it a little better. Now, why is R factor deteriorated by people? And why does overt acts against selected people improve an R factor? Well, Joe stands here and shoots Bill, who stands over there. And Joe gets very careful not to experience bills, pain, and counter emotion. So he not is's the picture and says it doesn't exist, and this requires tremendous attention on something to keep it not there. You get the idea? He puts tremendous attention on this to keep it not there, and he just locks it up on the track like mad. So he said it isn't. It must not be. Now, he already, in killing Bill, had decided that Bill mustn't be. So he's got two distinct postulates, one on top of the other, which says unreal. First, he says, Bill mustn't be. I can't accept Bill the way he is, so I'm going to kill him. All right, the next one immediately up the line, of course, is the actual action of not getting the kickback from Bill. So there's two not-is postulates sitting right there, one after the other. Of course, there are others. Bill's connections and the people who will feel sad if Bill got killed. He must not-is all that, too. That must become unreal. So while making all this unreal, he nevertheless fixes his attention on it in order to keep it unreal. So his attention more and more goes to unreality. He is more and more crushing out a not-isness so that nothing will be real. Now, one of his methods of doing that is saying, I've always been a good boy, and I've never done anything. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm no specialist in sin. I'm no specialist in looking over sinners and looking over their anatomy of sinning. But I wonder why Christianity was so successful. Now, they did have a point. They said you must recognize that you have sinned. That was the point. But say, help me, God, it was only one auditing command. Do you know, not one single time do they ever repeat the auditing question? They can't duplicate. That's what's the matter with them. Now, if they just carried this out a few times, girl came in, comes in and says, I've cheated on my husband. If the priest would simply say, thank you. What else have you done to your husband? Thank you. What else have you done to your husband? Thank you. And kept that up for an hour or two, he'd probably have the marriage fixed up. But all they ever did was re-stimulate it and hold it there. Repent ye, repent ye. They said the kingdom of heaven is at hand if you repented. Well, repentance got nothing to do with it, but recognition of having been cause and bad cause has a lot to do with it. A person gets all mixed up, and he begins to believe that he is cause, and if he is going to be cause again, he will be bad cause, because look at all the things he's done. So he pulls all the motivators in on top of him so that he will do good things. And never thinks about doing bad things, and totally not is his own bad cause. Now, until you get him over the idea that every time he's going to be cause, it's going to be bad cause, which is overt acts, and show him very clearly that he doesn't have to go to any extraordinary lengths to be good cause towards somebody, any interpersonal situation clears up at once. All he has to do is recognize some degree or another, no matter how dimly or dully, that he doesn't necessarily have to be bad cause toward one person or another person, and you've got him capable of being cause. And unless a person can be cause, he can't be. He just can't be. So, promoting him up the line of being cause is promoting him up toward R. Now, you can't even look at the wall without outflowing. Funny darn thing, I don't care how little you outflow, you still got to outflow something. That wall can't totally inflow, let me tell you. You at least have to give it your attention before it can inflow on you. All right, the individual who cannot give his attention to the wall can't give his attention to the wall because the wall is supplanted by too many other walls which are being not-ised. And he'd almost get his silly head blown off if he really gave his attention to the wall, he thinks. So he doesn't dare be the cause of even putting his attention on something. That's being caused too, to that slight degree. Now, when there are factors bad, it's just a situation where they're no longer able to put their attention on anything else because they are so eager to get their attention on and keep their attention on the things they shouldn't have done in the first place. They've got to get out of the road, all of these black chalk marks on the record. And their attention just is totally unreal. It must be unreal. It must be unreal. It must be unreal. You get the idea? And they don't dare take their attention off that stuff, get on the wall. You say, what are you looking at? He says, I'm looking at a blank field. I'm looking at nothing. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at that. It doesn't matter what he's looking at. He may even be looking at some dub-in that has nothing to do with the situation he is really looking at. Dub-in is what occurs after not is has totally failed. Definition. A dub-in, it's very easy to understand dub-in. It's what occurs after a person can no longer not is. Now he makes a substitute. Just another way of taking his attention off reality. Now, to raise this R factor, then, all you have to do is find something or somebody, the individual, has some slight reality on, and improve that reality with an auditing question such as, recall something you have done to Bill. Now, this makes him cause toward it. Second, he's been causative. He runs out, to some degree, the bad cause that he's been, which frees up his attention so he can put his attention on something else. You can pick up another person who is now more real to him than it was a moment before. And you say, tell me something you have done to the second person. Repeat the auditing question. Whatever the auditing question is, the end goal of it is simply to get him to recognize that he has and can outflow. Get rid of this second person. In that fashion, you find out now he's got a little more reality on the third person. Run that person. Get somebody else he's got some reality on. Run some overts against that person, one way or the other. You can just keep on. And what are you doing? You're dispensing with his not-isness, which gave him the unreality. He's having the not-is. He doesn't any longer have to not-is because the overts are disappearing. All right? You get him up the line. Sooner or later, and in a bad R case, it sure better be a lot later. In the auditing session, you turn him loose on general, what have you done to, you know? Recall something you have done to someone. Somebody is a better one, because most Thetans have done things to bodies. Now, you turn him loose on a generality only after you make sure you got the particularity licked. Follow this? You got the particularity licked, turn loose on the generality. Now, his tension was bound up in anybody that was real to him if he was bad off. If he wasn't bad off, he can think of lots of things he has done to lots of people. So it doesn't matter whether you run it on even a high-level case. You've certainly undercut the case. But if this person's R level is showing up to be very, very bad, if his memory, if his ability to punch things on the time track is very, very poor, boy, don't you let him out from under selected persons until you've exhausted the telephone book, the Encyclopedia Britannica, who's who, and historical figures of the world. You understand? Family, dogs, cats, anything you can think of. Anything that you can get even vaguely to vibrate on the meter. Let's just beat that to death. Because this person sooner or later will have a live car that talks to him. I mean, if he keeps going this way. And you'll find PCs. When you say somebody, he says my car. Now, we all personify cars for fun. But this guy really thinks the car does all the driving. Now, let's just improve the R factor until we're satisfied with it. And as a PC, if our R factor has been attacked and underestimated, suffer with it for a while. You'll find out that the more not-isness you can get rid of on a recall of overt acts, the more reality you get on a case. And you pick selected persons until you're absolutely certain that the individual would be recalling what he's done to people with great reality. So you go general only when you're absolutely sold on this idea that things are pretty real to this guy. Pictures are turning on and things are happening. The knot is, this is dropping out. His C factor's better and his judgment factor seems to be much better. In other words, he's getting brighter. And boy, that's one thing this process will do is make them brighter. You should see how that old IQ figure goes up, 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 up. I don't know, but on this particular one, it could approach, for very expertly run, selected person, straight wire, it could approach 2 points per hour of IQ for every hour of processing. Why does his IQ go up? Well, he's just getting less stupid, which means to say he's got more R. Got the idea? Now, some people who have a total machine IQ will have their IQs go way down in the moron and come back up on real IQ. That's a wild one. You're going to process somebody someday, and the person's IQ will be 182 when you started, and you process them for 25 hours, and their IQ is 90. You say, what am I doing here? Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They're a brighter 90 themselves than they were a machine IQ of 182. Now you go on processing them maybe another 25 hours and you find they're now up to 135. The test is not the test. It's, is the person bright? Is the person brighter? And if the person's brighter, you got it made. All right. Therefore, the estimation of R and the handling of R is absolutely necessary for the successful processing of a case. In any case you ever missed on, the only thing you ever missed on, really, was the R factor and doing something of that. How about it? Thank you.